Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Viva Moms After Dark. Badass Buddha is in the house. It is Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I have no idea how much energy I have. This always happens on the Friday nights. You know, any other Friday night that we do not have the show, I am so good to go. I'm up to like midnight doing work. And then inevitably the night that I am supposed to do my thing, I'm like exhausted. It never fails. So welcome everyone. Welcome. And Dory, our producer. How you doing, Dory?
Awesome. It has been, this is a special night. Moms After Dark. It's the second Friday of the month, and you and Gladiator were so cool to let us move this because my son actually got married last Friday.
That's
right. I'm going to be able to come out at 10 p.m. to be Roz in the background here. So, and it was awesome. But I was telling you earlier, you know, I feel like I'm still recovering. I was literally... I was making homemade pizzas at like 1 o'clock in the morning last week. And
I make you're dinner. Such an Italian mom.
I know. Although I have to say it was my son, my other son, not the one who got married, but my other son who actually made the pizza dough. It was fresh made dough and the sauce. He wound up going home with his wife and baby and my granddaughter, and my daughter, who was in from New Mexico for a week and a half. And believe me, when I said goodbye to her in November, I didn't know if I would see her again in 2021.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it was so exciting that she came, not only came back for the wedding, she was the officiant. It was just so lovely. But then, you know, Saturday, Friday, I was cleaning because I didn't want them to wake up. We actually rented, or they rented, Airbnb this beautiful mansion up in Norwich, Connecticut. So there were only 15 of us at the wedding. And so everyone stayed. But it was so funny because the master wing of this house, when I tell you I've been in houses that weren't as big, that's the master wing of this house, you know, but I didn't want them to get up the next day and have to worry about the dishes, the china and stuff that was going back to the other caterer. So, but yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning, there I am, man, stretching pizza dough. Look at myself, I'm nuts. And then Sunday was my grandson's birthday. And
you're not
I guess
nuts, you're you.
I know.
You're probably happy as a... You're like, you're tired or whatever. You're happy as hell to do it.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm in the kitchen, Lori. I'm like, tell a loon, I met somebody. You know?
Oh, my God.
But
oh,
I have to be honest.
Come
Sunday, I got to my son and now his wife's house. It's my three-year-old grandson's birthday. And we had a ton of leftovers from the wedding. So I am now putting hors d'oeuvres in the oven and everything else. And then I sat down in the sun on the sun porch in a chair all the way in the corner. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I got to be out of my mind. I was like, that's it. And I said to his other grandmother and his godmother, lock me in this corner and you guys tell them that's it. She's done. We refuse to let her do anything else. And I was really proud of myself because believe me, I normally would have been in, you know what? I'm sorry. But yeah, I hit the wall. I can't believe I hit the wall, but I hit the wall. Get out?
Well, you know what? You have to hit the wall. That's the only way to stop you. And we do that. But it's amazing what adrenaline can do even for a week, like a week long event. And you know, that's so typical though. Like whether it's, you know, especially with Italians, but I've learned this, you know, and Gladiator Guru will be on very shortly. She had a wake to go to. So whether it is a wedding or a wake, doesn't matter if you're Italian or Puerto Rican, it is like a, it's a week-long party. It you can't tell the difference sometimes between a funeral and a wedding, because there's just as much food, there's just as much laughing, there's music playing usually, there's dancing, you know. I'm telling you, like, I when I was a kid, I knew, like, after every funeral, we would go and be partying somewhere at somebody's house, whether it was the house or, you know, and then you got sophisticated and a little bit older, they started renting restaurants, you know. But back in the day, it's like everybody used to just pack into the person's house. And it would be like, oh, so this is like what happens when you die, you know. Oh, but didn't this just happen like a couple of weeks ago? We went to so-and-so's wedding, you know, so it's no different.
You know, it's funny because I'm actually Italian, Spanish, Polish, and Puerto Rican. So it's true. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. It's just the difference is the food. That's all it is.
That's right.
The food is the only difference, you know. But here's the thing. I literally took a week off. I don't know about any of you out there, but you know how hard that is. Not to go on social media, not to do, I unplugged from everything, absolutely everything. First thing Monday morning, I'm talking 7 a.m. I answering emails, doing this, doing that, getting everything, you know, I mean, I went right back in after that week.
How many emails did you have?
I have like 7 different email accounts.
No, I mean, on Monday, do you know what the total emails that, how many did you come back to?
I had about
40
that were actually having to be answered. But I have 7 or 8 different email accounts,
right,
depending on, you know, between safety bags, stadium bags, Word of Mom Radio, Word of Mom TV, the silo, you know, I have a lot of email addresses. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was just, but I'm going to be, by 11:30, I was caught up with everything. I was like, okay. And then it was just my normal week. And I wound up taking today because my daughter went home today. So I had my grandson and just played and had an amazing, amazing day. And Gladiator Guru is in the house. I'm bringing her in.
Yay. Hello, hello, everybody. How's it? Good evening.
Good evening, Gladiator Guru. You made it. Good. And see, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad at all.
I know. I would have got it sooner, but I had to change because my pantyhose were a little too tight. My Spanx.
You needed to let those chichos breathe a little bit. I know I did. That's why I had to. Listen, this is the beauty of the Blog Talk Radio, because we get to, I mean, I'm literally in my pajamas, and this is just fabulous.
So
whereas, like, the morning show, you know, you at least the upper half has to look good. You know, you have to have your hair done, your makeup up, you know, and your shirt. I mean, you could still be in your pajama bottoms, but that's the beauty of it. And I'll tell you, doing this late at night, if I had to be dressed, I don't know if I could do it for like the 2 hours. So I'm so grateful. I can't even explain. So how you doing, Gladiator Guru? So we're sorry to hear. So Gladiator Guru was late because her uncle passed away, and she was at the wake this evening. So we're sorry for your loss. And how's the family doing? How did everything go tonight?
Well, the wake was 5 to 8, and I had aunts who came in from Puerto Rico, from Massachusetts, cousins from Georgia. So, you know, after the stuff, we all got together and everybody's talking, wanting to take pictures, because, of course, we only see the aunts when somebody dies.
Right.
So, yeah, so I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be late. So that's why I sent you that text when I did. But, no, it was fine. We're home now, my sister and I. It was, you know, it's the circle of life. You know, it's awful. I want to have a whole debt-free year.
You deserve it. You deserve it. Yeah, it's been a tough year for you.
And it's only May.
Yeah.
And it's, that's right. Yep. it's only May. Well, or let's put it out there to the universe. How's that sound? How's that sound? Does that work for you?
Yes, I did. And Dorby, so I heard the end part. Your daughter left.
Yes, she is on her way back to New Mexico. But the amazing part, and of course, because of everything going on still, you know, her plans can change on a dime at any time anyway. But it actually looks like she may be back here in September and October, which, again, when I say goodbye to my daughter, I'm never sure what year I'll see her again. So, you know, I mean, I hugged her goodbye one time and I saw her almost 2 years later because she had gone to California. Then she was backpacking across Southeast Asia for 4.5 months and then worked in Australia for 5.5 months. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm thrilled that I actually, there's a very, very good chance. And then again, I could find out in a week that she's going to be working in Ecuador. So not a clue.
Hey, listen, good thing she wasn't in Australia during this whole thing because she would have got stuck there.
She was in
Australia. Australia closed their borders. They closed their borders. You couldn't go in or out.
My daughter was in India when COVID began.
Oh, boy.
She had been working and studying in an ashram. And her plan had been to travel throughout India until the 30th of March. And March 5th, she had finished her job, and her friends took her out. And they said to her, you know, it's probably might not be a good idea not only for you not to travel throughout India, but maybe you should go back home. And she said, you know, I don't have internet, but if it were really bad, my mom would have called me. I called her the next day. And I told her, I was like, you know what? You are a grown woman. I cannot tell you what to do. I'm not afraid of you getting sick. I'm afraid of you not getting back into the U.S. So she flew in March 13th at about 5 o'clock, 10 after 5, she got into my car. We were home from JFK to Stratford, Connecticut at 6:35. There was no one on the road. That was the day at 11:59 p.m. that all international travel got banned for like almost 2 weeks. So when we woke up the next day, my daughter was like, thank you, Mom. So, yeah. But that's what I mean. You know, that wasn't supposed to be happening. She was supposed to be going from India to Alaska.
Jeez. Goodness. Yeah. Well, good.
Oh, my God. I want to be her when I grow up.
Me too. Gladiator guru, me too, man. I say that to her all the time. You know what? She is so badass. She's so remarkable. And believe me, when she comes back from New Mexico, she'll be riding her motorcycle on the way back. You know, all loaded up. And meanwhile, she gets off the motorcycle and she looks like a runway model. So it's like, oh God,
she's one of those.
Oh, she's amazing.
One of those like on TV where they take the helmet off and they swish their hair around and it's like fucking perfect.
She's got curly hair, not too much makeup, but she's built like a runway model. She just has that really cool girl next door. I mean, she's just really, like I said, Gladiator Guru and I both want to be just like her when we grow up.
Yes.
Oh my God. Is she like that too when she gets off like a 15-hour plane ride too? She looked just like she walked off the runway too.
This chick came back from India and I go to pick her up. I'm in the cell phone parking lot and I drive in and she's in one of these like white gauzy kind of thing. And I'm like, she was traveling. She changed planes 3 times in India and then flew nonstop from India, from Doha to JFK. And yes, walked off. Although the flip side of it was, she actually took all of her clothes off, put them in a bag and changed into a completely new outfit in the bathroom right downstairs when you come in from the airport where your luggage is. So for stuff, she went in shape, but she just changed her clothes. But still, she had been traveling for 36 hours and was like, hi, Mom, I'm really hungry. Got food? Which, of course, I had cheese and crackers. And, you know, I had a little feast for her, as you know, to eat. But, yeah.
Meanwhile, you just went to go pick her up at JFK, and you look like crap. It was just an hour drive, and she's like 36 hours.
I know, right?
Circles under the eyes, like all frumpy, and then she comes off like glowing. You know, oh, hi, Mom, I'm hungry. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. You know, it is. It's too fun. And you know what? It's so cool because, let's face it, as moms, as women, I was just talking to her about this because my granddaughter is going to be a year old. And she went to touch something a couple of weeks ago. And I went, ah, nitish pa. And she looked at me and went, ah. I was like, excuse me? And you got to see her. I was like, oh. Let's face it. When it comes to girls, you have to teach them how to follow the rules without breaking that spirit. So it's like, good for you, little girl. Now watch who you're talking to.
You know, this is actually a good conversation segue in because the guest that we're going to have on tonight, we're going to have Sarah Salter on, and Sarah's she's with TravelNation.net, and so she's a travel advisory specialist. Sorry. So this is actually like very interesting that we're talking about traveling so much because how old is your daughter, Dory?
She is 28, and when I tell you this chick is a travel ninja, nonstop flight from JFK to Albuquerque, $130. Like what?
So, but she's so you know in the 20s, it's like there's a lot of people that are just they're really good at that stuff, you know. And then we get to our 30s and we sort of settle down a little bit, and then we start to have these ideas. Oh, well, I've got kids, I can't travel like I used to, or you know, we have to do the family travel, like we have to go to Disney, that kind of stuff. And then we could put, when the kids graduate high school, then I'll do my traveling. And, you know, it's nice when you get people such as Sarah to say, hey, listen, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Like you don't have to keep saying, I'm going to do this later. You know, I'll wait till the kids get older, or we'll travel here to the typical destination, you know. And then let's just go ahead and do an African safari tour with the family. That would be fabulous. But how are we going to afford that? And Joanna Walker, who's going to be the second guest, she's a financial person. And she talks about, like, how to be wise with your money and be able to, like, to be able to set money aside for these things. In fact, that's how I met these two. I networked with them, but they also do little gigs together where they put together a little discovery workshop, and they both work together. So she talks about the travel piece, and then Sarah does, and then Joanna will talk about the financial piece and then how to like plan for the travel. And it's really, I thought that was brilliant, really, like these two individuals who I believe met through networking. I could be wrong on that, so I might have to be corrected. I don't think they knew, I'm not sure if they were friends prior to, but that was brilliant. You know, it's like, that's the truth, because either we say, well, we can't travel, we don't have enough money. Oh, well, here's the financial person. Oh, but then, you know, I've got the money, but I don't know where to go. Well, here's the travel person. So that's going to be exciting to have both of them on.
Well, speaking of Sarah, he's actually here in the studio.
Okay, cool. All right.
So you ready for us to bring her in live?
Okay, let me give a little introduction. So Sarah Salter is with TravelNation.net. She's a travel advisor specializing in luxury, romance, family, and special needs travel. She is a mom of three special needs kids, and it does not slow her down to travel. And I thought, like, what I love about Sarah when I met her was the fact that, you know, we have a wealth of excuses why we don't do things, whether it's travel or something else. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And when you meet people that do things that are so much more complicated than the average person, and they do it anyway, I love being inspired by people such, you know, like that. And that's why I thought it was so important to reach out to Sarah and say, hey, Sarah, listen, why don't you talk to the tribes about, because Sarah's also going to be on the morning show, and talk to the tribes about just being out and just doing it, you know, and the challenges that she faces, but just saying, I'm going to do it anyway. So, Sarah, Jan?
Yeah, I'm super excited to hear all this Sarah person has to say. She sounds very inspirational. So I'm super excited to hear that.
Well, fabulous, fabulous. So Sarah, welcome to the show. I am the Badass Buddha, and the Gladiator Guru is in the background, and we are both here.
Hello, hello.
So what do you want to start off with, Sarah? Like, you know, there's so much to say in such a short period of time, and we can obviously continue the conversation when we have you on the morning show, and you'll have even longer to talk. But for tonight's tribe, so what do you want to share? Like, what do you tell everybody a little bit about your story, and then your travel, like what you do as a specialist, but also a travel specialist, but also as a traveler. So go ahead and start with your story.
Sure, absolutely. So I was joking when I first came on, just because it's so weird sometimes to hear other people describe you and like the picture that they have of you, because when I think of me, I don't think of anybody that's doing anything unusual or that I'm being particularly successful at it. I just see myself like doing my life, right?
Correct.
So it's always a unique perspective to hear what other people see when they look at you. But I thank you for those compliments. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So a little bit about me. I've been a lifelong traveler, starting from the fact that you won't be able to tell it from listening here, but I was actually born in England. And my mom, when I was younger, met somebody that was in the U.S. military, and we relocated to the United States. So did obviously my first big trip when I was 6 years old, coming to this country, going back and forth, did study abroad, wanderlust in my 20s. I love to go places. When I get stressed out, I'm like, I really need to just go somewhere and see something different. Like, it's very de-stressing for me to go somewhere. And so then I, you know, met a boy, got married, had kids, all of that good stuff. And my first daughter was born at 28 weeks. So she was 3 months
wow.
early. She spent 3 months in the NICU, had a traumatic experience in that time. She actually had a complete cardiac and respiratory arrest. My husband was
severely
actually had to resuscitate her. So, you know, not exactly the way when you're a little girl and you're dreaming of having your family, right, that you see things going. And on top of that, you have all of the things that you think you're going to do with family, you know, from ballet lessons to trips to Disney to whatever. And we were in a position where, you know, at first you try and be like stubborn. Right. You're like, oh, I can do this. I'm going to muscle through. And we would take my daughter to restaurants. And she had a really hard time with food. She's on the spectrum. So she had a hard time with eating and textures and that kind of thing. So she would throw up everywhere. I'm not talking like spit up. I'm talking like Linda Blair. And so we have this huge thing. She's crying because she's not like dad, flustered dad, because he's like, what do we do? I like feel super guilty. I'm on my hands and knees trying to clean it up because I used to wait tables. I'm like, oh my God, the poor server. And then we both look around and realize that the rest of the restaurant is like giving us a side eye, like looking at us like, what is your problem? We're trying to have dinner.
Oh yeah.
So we got to the point where we didn't even want to go out to a restaurant. We didn't go to the park. We didn't really do much of anything for a while. So fast forward this story about 13 years and add two more kids in there, both of whom also have special needs. So all three do. And we took a Disney cruise, and we had worked really hard learning how to travel and make sure that we knew how to access accommodations that are available that they're not really well publicized, but they do exist. But I had spent a lot of time figuring out how to use them. And then I gave my daughter, who was at that time now 13, check-in and out privileges of the tween club on the Disney cruise so she could, quote-unquote, be normal with all of the other kids. So that was a huge process, 13-year process of, oh, my goodness, we can't even go to TGI Fridays to, like, going on the Disney cruise. So at that point, which is now 3 years ago, we got to travel again. I got to get back into that mindset of going places and learning new things and meeting new people and doing that with my kids. Like, I think it's really important to travel with kids. A lot of people think that they have to wait till kids are older. I'm like, the second you can throw that baby in a car seat or in a sling, you should take them traveling with you, because going places and meeting people, learning new things and history and languages, like, it just changes your brain in a way that makes you into a different, and I really think, like, a better person.
I agree. I think the biggest thing is, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I meant to interrupt you, but anyway, so I'm just kidding, Sarah. So the parents usually, like, the children don't know anything. It doesn't matter if they're 2 months old, 2 years old, 6 years old. They're just ready to go. Like, they just shift. I mean, I know it is more challenging with a child that's in the spectrum because they're more regimented. But if you can keep that calmness to them, the regimen of their routine, a little bit as close to as normal as possible, it's easier. But let's not put that into play, that a lot of reasons the parents say they can't go or they can't do, we can't travel just yet, it's our own excuses that are getting in the way. It's not the kids. And I see this with parents that are like 20-something-year-old parents, like early 20s, mid-20s, even late 20s, versus 30- and 40-year-old parents, where the 20-something-year-olds just go. Like, they don't even think twice about it. They're like, oh, let's go camping for the weekend. And they're like, it's like 2 days away. And they're like, okay, yeah, no problem. And they just pack up the car and they put the tent in there. Whereas, like, the parents that are a little later, like 30s and 40s, are like, oh, I got a plan for this. And we just can't get up and leave. We have to do this and we have to do that. True a lot of times as well?
Yeah, I definitely think that is true. I think that, you know, once you get more mature, I think you realize that there are things that can go wrong, and you're always trying to plan for them, right? You're always trying to be prepared, and you can get down that rabbit hole of never being prepared enough until you just stop doing things. And so I used to have a saying, because my family and I go to Disney a lot. I'm such a Disney geek, and it's kind of, they come along for the ride. But, you know, I always say a bad day at Disney is better than a good day just about anywhere else. So when we go to Disney, it's not like our trip is perfect. It's not like nothing ever goes wrong, but we plan our schedule in a way so that we have flexibility so that when something does go wrong, we handle it and then we move on and we focus on having a good rest of the trip. We don't let that one thing color the entire experience, and we certainly don't let it stop us from going next time or going to the next place. And I think for older parents, they just don't have that. I think they're just so concerned that things are not going to be great or perfect or are going to go smoothly that they almost let psych themselves out doing it at all, where younger people are more like, let's go, let's take the risk. And you know, with me working a lot with families, that's definitely something that I can help you with, because I have a really good visualization and what all of those what if could be, and then I can help you with them as well.
That's great. What do you think of Gladiator Guru? You're awfully quiet back there.
No, it's just courageous. It's just to listening. And you're right, a bad day at Disney. It's just, you know, you go for the experience, and I commend you, because it's with regular kids that things are hard. No, I don't mean regular kid. Please don't take that as an offense. But just on a normal day, it can be difficult as a parent, and then but to still be courageous and just say, this is my kid, and we're just going to enjoy life. We're going to enjoy it, and whatever happens, happens. We'll clean up along the way. But we're going to live, we're going to choose to live life on our terms, and I love that.
Yeah, there was a good portion of time there when my youngest son is actually on a feeding tube. And so over the years, he's six now, we've learned some tips and tricks. But there was a couple of years there where he would also throw up a lot, I guess, kind of a theme to my kids. Lucky me. But we would go for a while where we would always, you know how you pack your stuff in the bottom of the stroller, and most parents are like, do you have your pacifier? Do you have your lovey? We'd be always like, do you have a garbage bag? Because we always were like, well, if he throws up, we'll just put the garbage bag down and put some clean pants on him and move on to the next thing. So I think when you're in a situation like that, where the stuff that happens is kind of, they're not small things. So if you can do that, if you can deal with that, then I'm like, well, whatever, let's just do it. Let's just go, let's figure it out. And that's really kind of the way that I try and inspire other families and my clients to be like, let's just go, let's figure it out, let's get you there and make the plan. So
I think that, and Gladiator Guru, she said it perfectly, that is very, very brave. And you, for you, it's just life, it's just normal. And for us, it's looking at you going, that's incredible, you just shift and flow. But it's such a good lesson for everybody. And it's fabulously inspiring for families when they work with you, because you can honestly say, you know, oh, I know what that's like, you know, like I've been there, like I've experienced that. Like you can standing like with great empathy, you know, if you have a client, let's say, that says, well, you know, my child has a lot of like problems with textures, or they have a lot of food allergies, and you'll be so sensitive to be able to direct them into the right facilities or the right vacation packages. And I think that's really a big plus, like, you know, and again, giving families permission to live their best life and enjoy their lives, that like live it. As opposed to saying, I can't because, you know, like my child needs this, or, you know, my husband has this challenge, or I have this challenge. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, you want to see these things, then let's make it happen. So how quickly can people do this? Like, so like, let's say somebody calls you up and says, Sarah, you know, I know it's kind of late in the game, but, you know, we want to do a family, you know, vacation this summer. Like, and, you know, what are options? Like, I know with all the travel restrictions still, or the challenges that we have, but like realistically, like what could you say, like a family 4 or 5 and they just want to go and they have a bit of money to spend. Like, what are options? Like what could people do?
Yeah, well, so definitely, you know, travel is the consummate supply and demand industry. They can't create more hotel rooms, more beds, more, you know, cruise berths. It is what it is. So, you know, a lot of people have spent, a lot of big companies have spent a lot of money brainwashing everybody to think that the best way to travel is last minute, that there are these buckets and buckets of amazing undiscovered deals just waiting for you for next week. And it's actually really not that way. It's kind of like bathing suits at Target in August because you didn't go sooner because you didn't really think about it, and then you realize you're going to the beach next week and you go to Target in August, and there's always already winter coats out. And if you're lucky, you find one bathing suit, a two-piece bathing suit that actually matches and is in your size, but only because somebody shoved it in the back waiting to come back for it, right? It's like a total crapshoot. So the best way to do it is to plan in advance. And hopefully you can do that. I can actually book you out up to 3 years in advance. However, if you can't book that far in advance, you really do need to reach out to somebody like myself because I have so many partners that I can work with to find you something. So even when the big brands are getting full, you know, or I can find you like an alternative destination, or maybe even if you have flexibility in your schedule, the search engines that I use are designed for travel professionals. So for example, for Beaches Resorts, right, which is a great place to go this summer. I was just at Beaches Turks and Caicos, which is, you know, the family brand of sandals. They always say you go to sandals as a couple, you do couple things, and then you come back, you have to go to Beaches because now you have kids. But with Beaches, when you go try and book it yourself, you have to put in dates. You have to go June 2nd to June 6th. And what rooms are available? And it's going to come back and tell you there are no rooms available. And when I go on my end and I put in June 2nd to June 6th, it's going to come back and it's going to say no rooms available. But then underneath, it has a little button that I hit that says make this room available. And then it pulls up a calendar and I can actually see every single day all the way to the end of December 2023 where that specific room category is available. So maybe instead of June 2nd to June 6th, now I can book you June 4th to June 8th, right? Or maybe not till July, but at least then you know what's available. And that's visualization that I have that you don't.
That's one sneaky. Way to love it though.
Yeah. Cruises, you know, are always great. The cruise lines, they all are saying they're going to come back in July. I've been wrong several times in the last 14 months, so I'm not guessing as much. But you do have your all-inclusive. The Caribbean has been open since the end of last summer. Mexico is open. Hawaii is loosening restrictions, so there's some availability in Hawaii. There's actually even a Disney resort in Hawaii. So if you really like Disney and you want to taste of Disney and you can't get into World or Land, World right now has capacity restrictions. So you definitely want to call sooner rather than later a Disney travel professional in there. But then Disneyland, you can't go at all unless you live in California. If you want to taste the Disney, maybe go to Hawaii, which seems that people don't necessarily realize that it's there, but it's really great. National parks are a good option. We're so blessed in this country to have all of these stunning places to go and look at. And from my perspective, I can help you do that via car. I can help you do that via train. I even have connections to RV companies where you can rent an RV and we can plan out an itinerary ahead of time. And you just have to drive and we tell you where to stop and what to see. And then you get back in the RV and you drive to the next place.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're saying this, that you do this, because actually, I was just putting together a 2 to 3 week long cross country trip, and I've been mapping it out myself, deciding like, because there's specific areas that I want to stop in, and I'm like looking at hotel, like, so you do all that stuff. So like, if I said to you, Sarah, I want to go here, I want to go here, I want to go there, you would like set all that stuff up?
Yeah, I can do a full itinerary anywhere in the world.
Wow.
I can do that in different ways. Do that, you know, like travel, like your typical like guide with the thing that's like, and we're walking, and we're walking. We can do those. you know, for people that have a little bit of extra budget, I can do some. I can do a completely private guided itinerary, which comes in higher in cost, but it's all luxury all the way. And then for your DIYers, we can actually do it completely separately where we just plan it together, and whether or not that be, like I said, car or train or RV, it's completely you, but it's not through any specific company. And then what I do is I put all of that information, whichever route you choose to take, put it all into an online itinerary builder. I even have an app that you can download so that you can keep it with you at all times. I put all of your like confirmations, your payment, your receipts, everything, so you never have to worry about showing up at the hotel and they're like, we have no record of you being here. And you're like whipping out your app and going, actually, you know, here's my receipt. Here's my booking confirmation. You're not like digging through your email going, I know I saw it somewhere. Where is it? So yeah, tons of options that way. And that really gives you the flexibility to do that really anywhere. National parks are look a little bit, and so Europe, Africa, anywhere you like.
Oh my! Listen, I have been on. This is amazing, Lori. As soon as I heard her talking about that, I'm like divine intervention because of your plans for this summer. And I have been going on because I want to go to Spain, but so far, the person in Spain is opening up, but only for the vaccinated. At first, they were only letting the people called the block or something like that from European Union. They're not too happy opening it up to us, but would you be able like to know when they will let like people with just a negative COVID test go, or that has to wait until...
Yeah, so another great thing about working with a travel professional is that we work really hard to develop relationships with local tourism authorities. So when you ask me a question like that, you can rest assured that I'm not getting that information from Google or from TripAdvisor. Like, I'm getting it from the tourism board in the country that you're interested about. It's factual. And often I even have people that are right there on the ground living in that country as well that I can call and ask questions to. As far as Europe is concerned, obviously you have a lot of different countries there. You do have the EU. So what you were referring to was Schengen zone. I always say the first word wrong, but... the main block of the EU that we're allowed to travel freely, and they've opened it up. And then different countries in areas of Europe are deciding if they're requiring people to be vaccinated or not. So it's really a country by country question. So like, and that can even be countries that are right next to each other. So Greece, for example, is very much saying, if you want to come to Greece, you have to be vaccinated. Whereas Croatia, which is right next to Greece, is like you just have to have a negative COVID test. So it can vary even within neighbors. And it's important to just, you know, make sure that you're getting your information directly from official government sources, because the airlines are actually the gatekeepers. So if Spain is telling you that you have to be vaccinated and you have to substantiate that, and you go to check into your flight, if you don't have whatever Spain has decreed is appropriate, they will not let you get on that plane. They will not check you in. No going through TSA. Do not pass go. Do not cut $200. There is no wiggle room. There's no tiers. There's no anything that's going to get you on that plane. So it is really important to make sure that you're getting accurate and up-to-date information, because it can also change quickly. We recently had a situation where Jamaica went from, I believe it was your test had to be within 7 days, down to 72 hours. And this was like announced in a press conference. And so people that had already been tested and were like ready to get on their flight were all of a sudden scrambling, trying to find a place that they could get a new test quick enough to get on a flight. So definitely, I guess I'm just triple stressing, like work with a travel professional, because you don't want to get stuck not being able to go where you planned.
Absolutely, because you're right. I've been trying to go on the actual board because I'm trying to do my 14-day walk, but it's actually from Portugal into Spain, but I still got to fly there. And one part I was reading, because it does get confusing. They were saying that opening up right now for non-essentials vaccinated, but then in July something they're going to announce when the people can come with just the negative PC whatever test, the negative COVID test, you know, 72 hours.
Yeah, so definitely. And then also what I recommend to people is make sure that you know your travel provider's cancellation policies. And then on top of that, make sure that you're investing in travel protection. Not only if, you know, your trip gets delayed or say you have the wrong documentation at the airport, that kind of thing, but also if you are in a destination and you do end up getting hurt or contracting an illness, maybe not COVID, maybe something else, maybe you just get the flu or whatever, you want to make sure that you have access to quality health care wherever you are in the world. Or God forbid, you need to be evacuated back to the United States, so you can cover those expenses. So I think what we've all gone through in the last 14, 15 months has really underscored the value of not only the professionalism and the connections of working with a travel professional, but the importance of having that travel protection, because that way you're protected all, you know, 360. You're going to have the answers, you're going to be prepared, and then if something does happen, you have that covered as well.
This is all
Thank
great.
Thank you so
I mean,
much for
is,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is because, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people are getting very antsy and they really want to start getting out. So, how about this? What would you suggest to people that, you know, they're still a little nervous, so maybe they don't want to go out of the country, and, you know, maybe they want to stay in the U.S. or whatever. What would you recommend? Like, would you, you know, so if they were to call you and, you know, what would you be able to offer? Say, you know, what's like the big thing? What's come up and coming that is going to be really ready to go that you know of so far for the summer? What's a good area to go that people are feeling good about and it's a beautiful place and it's still reasonable in price?
Yeah, so I definitely, you know, think that for the summer, a lot of the areas that people typically want to go to, they're getting booked up. The prices are increasing. So number one, it's going to depend on your budget. The higher your budget, the more, you know, opportunities that I can find you. And that's going to be a given at any time, but especially now. I do think, though, that some things that people don't necessarily consider is that there are, especially once you start going west, right, within the national parks and up in the mountains, that, for example, Springs in Colorado, people think of that as a ski town. It's actually a really great place to go in the summer. It's beautiful, beautiful scenery, beautiful wildflowers. There's tubing and hiking and biking and lots of outdoor activities. Again, also out west, there are I have connections with all-inclusive dude ranches where you can go and get your cowboy on. And some of them are for adults and some of them are for families. It just depends. You can do the wine country thing, but not just California. There are many wine countries all over the United States. They make wine in Georgia. They make wine in Pennsylvania. And all of those places have their own little wine country. You know, you have the Carolina and the Tennessee Mountains. So why everybody else is like, you know, driving down to the panhandle or to the beach, you know, why don't you go up to the mountains for the summer and do this hiking? I just had clients there and they did this amazing treetop spa experience with like a bathtub in an open-walled treetop villa with like massages. And then they did some hiking on like the Trail of Tears. So it was a little bit of culture and history and nature all wrapped together. Other people, you know, Florida gets a lot of love. The Panhandle gets a lot of love. But you have your Atlantic beaches down further south, like on Georgia and the Carolinas. Some of the barrier islands are more secluded than others. So while everybody in the, you know, is going to Hilton Head, there are other islands that you can go to that are a little bit more secluded and have options there. But don't forget, like, that there are so many different just cities in the United States where, you know, I used to joke with my husband, we lived in Pennsylvania for 12 years, and I only went to see the Liberty Bell once, and that was because I was the leader of a Girl Scout, my daughter's Girl Scout troop at the time, and we were doing it for Girl Scouts. Like, I mean, that city has so much culture, and I just never did it because I took it for granted that it was there. Like, now I live in Atlanta, and we have Sweet Auburn Street, and we have the MLK Center and all of that stuff, and I don't go to any of it. You know, so.
Oh, listen, I know how that is. I lived in South Carolina for 8 years, and inland, and I never once went to Myrtle Beach or Charleston. In all the years that I lived there, it wasn't until like after I moved out of the state. It was so stupid. But sometimes we don't think about it. We're like always looking further. Like, oh, let's just instead of having it like a, you know, like those staycations kind of deal, but. Well, you know what? Our time is up, and you know we always give our guests, and we had contacted you about this. So you're more than welcome to stay on because I know Joanna's going to be coming on any moment. But I think the great thing about you coming on, Sarah, is that people we sometimes, and I do this. I know I'm guilty of this. That we just say, oh, I'll just plan it myself. I'm going to save myself some money and just plan it all myself. But you've given, like, ideas that I wasn't even thinking about. Like, Gladiator Guru, how nice did it sound to, like, be able to go up into the mountains and be in this open room getting a massage, like, while, like, nature is right out there. We're always thinking about it on a beach, like, in a beach scene. But this is incredible. And I never even thought about that. Like, I never thought that those were a possibility or those things existed. And so you're privy to all this information, which is really fabulous. It's just a matter of somebody saying, this is what we like. What do you know that you can create for us that encompasses, say, I like the mountains, I like water. Okay, well, you don't have to have water at the beach. Maybe you have water in the mountains at a lake or something like that. So this is great. You give everybody a outside of the box kind of thing, you know. And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Do I have like 2 seconds to just interject 2 other things?
Sure.
So one thing I want to say is that as far as the saving money part is concerned, A lot of people think that travel professionals charge fees. Some do and some don't. I, for example, do not. I am 100% commission-based. So I'm paid by your destination because I help you travel happy. Like, I help you feel connected, and I help you with all the bells and whistles, and in exchange, Disney or beaches or the mountain resort pays me on the back end, kind of like a real estate agent. So you're never paying more with a travel advisor, and you're often paying less because we know where to find the good deals. So that's point number one.
Oh, my God, that's great. Even better. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. And point number two, just specifically about me, I always say that I have a superpower when it comes to planning travel, is I love to find your perfect place, even if you didn't know what your perfect place entailed. So I just booked a family for this fall into an all-inclusive resort in Mexico that has a Waldorf Priest sunrise yoga and vegan suites. Because
wow.
That's the kind of things that they're interested in, but how would they have ever found that on their own? Probably not very easily, but it's everything that they were looking for. And every family has that same, you know, that thing that they're looking for. And I think that that's like my superpower as a travel advisor, figuring out what that thing is and then serving it to you on a silver platter so that all you have to do is pack a suitcase and it costs you less.
That sounds good to me. How about you,
Gladys? I love it. I love it. I love the visual that I got from her talking about the hiking and up in the mountains and waterfalls and stuff like that. I don't like beaches. I only go to the beaches when it's a full moon. I go at night. I'm a moon child. So that right there was just so enticing to know that I can just call you and say, I want to disappear for a week. I wanna go solo somewhere and just enjoy a week of my life with just me and my thoughts and my spirit. And that's what I got from what you were saying with that. So that is fantastic.
That's great. Yes, that is fantastic. Sarah, you're more than welcome to stay on, but before we switch to Joanna, can you just give everybody how they can contact you? And we're going to post it on our social media. And Sarah will be on the Viva Café con Leche morning show on this coming Thursday. So you'll also be able to have another chance to see her and listen to her on the Facebook, YouTube channels. So just how could people reach you? So maybe they could start this weekend and get in contact with you this weekend and start talking to you.
Absolutely. So the easiest way to find me is to type into the Google machine Sarah, that's Sarah with an H, S-A-R-A-H, travel happy. If you do that, that's the name that I book under. All my stuff is going to come up. My main website is sarahtravelshappy.com. You can schedule a consultation on my calendar there as well. And I try to make myself as easy to find as possible.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And Sarah, I know, you know, mother of three, so you are absolutely more than welcome to stay on and hang out and, you know, I know you know Joanna, so you could join the conversation. But it's up to Anne, great. And if you don't, then it's been a pleasure having you. We can't wait to talk to you again on Thursday. That one will be the morning, so you'll have to get up a little earlier for that. But thank you so much. Gladiator Guru, did you want to say anything before we grab Joanna?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward for you being on the show and sharing more of your knowledge with the people to understand that there's more to life than just work and taking care of stuff, that we also need a mini vacation from life, from the life we know. So I think more people need to be encouraged to think along those lines and not stay stuck. So What you're going to be offering, what you've offered tonight, is you're teaching people how to feed their spirit, and I'm very big on that. So I thank you.
Yes, perfect. Perfect way to say it. So thank you, Sarah. Okay, so we're going to bring on Joanna. Joanna's been patiently waiting. She's been listening. So Joanna, and let me get Joanna's info that we are going to introduce. So Joanna Walker is a financial professional with WealthWays, the How Money Works company, and she is dedicated to helping today's generations pursue the lives and futures they want for themselves and their families. She lives in the Phoenix area, so this time slot is nothing for her. This is like almost dinner time. She's been in the education field for 15 years, has been part of the financial services community for over six. She's very active in networking and other business owners, entrepreneurs, and professionals, married, and has two children, and her favorite pastime is attending her kids' sporting events. So welcome, Joanna.
Thank you. How are you?
We are awesome. And this is so nice. Okay. We got Joanna twice this week, right? Because we had Joanna yesterday morning. And Joanna's absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So take it away, Joanna. What do you want to share? What insight would you like to share with the tribe tonight?
Sure. So
welcome, Joanna.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Welcome. Take it away.
Good. All right. So you are absolutely right that Sarah and I met through networking. We met through a nationwide, I think it's probably global, I don't know, online virtual networking group. And I don't even know how many people are in that group. There are lots. And we just ended up being put in a smaller breakout room. I think if not once, definitely, if not, it's either once or twice, I don't know. Anyway, we just got to talking, and I was really interested in the way that she talked about travel and how you can plan ahead for things. And the more that we got to talking, we found out we have a lot in common. We've been in the education world. We have kids. We are, running our businesses, and there are a lot of parallels in what we do. And so just like Sarah's talking about how it's a great idea to plan ahead, you can reach out to people who have experience and who have expertise in those areas. Because just like you were saying, Sarah's Buddha, when you're talking about, I think I'd like to go do this, right? And then Sarah says, you could do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and would you like to do this? And oh my gosh, I had no idea. I didn't even realize those were options. Wow. Okay. So then it gets to expand your mind, and you get to have a different experience than you would have had you just tried to do it on your own. Because I think there are a lot of things, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday too, that there are things we just feel like, we should know how to do that, right? When I was a kid, there were travel agents, and then the internet came out. And then we all thought, we can do this ourselves, right? And I think there's a lot of similarity between that and our finances. We think, I'm just going to do this on my own. I'll be fine. I'll just go on Sarah's Google machine and figure out what's out there. And I should be able to figure this out, right? And the thing is that it's just like, imagine how much better your trip can be when you work with somebody like Sarah. That's how the same type of impact that you can have on your finances and planning for the future for your life. And just like Sarah said, she doesn't charge. She is taken care of by those companies that she books with on the back end. Same goes for me. It doesn't cost anything to work with me. I am able to help people have the conversation, think about lots of different things that they may or may not have thought about before, and really look at the solution. So where Sarah has partnerships with different providers, different people in different countries, different resorts, different properties, all these different places, I have partnerships with lots of different financial companies. And so it helped me to be able to look in the toolbox and figure out what makes the most sense in this situation. What can I bring forth to help people to be working towards the goals that they have for moving forward? So it has been really interesting. The more time we've spent together, we just see more and more similarities between how we work with people And the idea of planning ahead and the idea of being able to connect with someone that can potentially bring a whole different view that you maybe didn't have before.
That's great. I love that. You know, this is very insightful for me because I know you were on the show yesterday, but you just heard it yesterday, but then I'm hearing it again. And it's like finally sinking in. Like, I know I heard it yesterday because you said it, but you don't charge anything like for what you do. Sarah doesn't charge. You guys get paid, or you ladies get paid in a different manner. And think about this tribe. I would just picture this for a second. You have a business. Some of you are entrepreneurs out there. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. Everybody here, you know, our producer Dory is an entrepreneur. Gladiator Guru is an entrepreneur. Sarah and Joanna are entrepreneurs. So if you have your own business and you're a one-person show and you're doing it all, but then somebody says to you, oh, hey, listen, I have somebody that can schedule you all your stuff and you don't have to pay for that person. And then I have somebody who's going to do your bookkeeping, and you don't have to pay for that person. And then I have somebody who's going to do your advertising, you have to pay for that person. Would you take advantage of that? Like, would you do that? And you say, oh, no, no, please. I would love to just do all this work myself and take away and use up my time. Then don't listen to the conversation any longer. But, of course, we're going to look at that and go, oh, God, of course I would do that if it's not costing me anything. And so now I'm thinking in my head, so I don't have time to plan some phenomenal vacations for my family. It's not that I don't have time, but I have no idea what I'm doing with my finances. So because financial literacy was never one of my strong points. So why am I trying to do it myself then? So why am I not taking advantage of these individuals who are going to be able, they become my tribe and they're here for me and I'm not spending any extra money for them to do this. So this is just, to me, this is like such a no-brainer and it's such a big wake-up call because I think we as women, it's still, and even though we try not to think about it this way, especially with financial stuff, it is still a man's game in a lot of elements. And again, I'm not saying, believe me, there's a lot of kick-ass, badass women out there that invest, that know exactly what they're doing with their finances. God bless you, okay? And I'm the head of the house. Like, I've always been for years the one that took care of the finances. Like, I was the one who paid the bills, collected the money, knew what was going in, what was going out. Was I great at it? Not really. But I did it. You know, I maintained it. So there's plenty of women that are up there. So I don't want to make it sound like that's not the case, but it still seems to be kind of the man's game. And so when you have women who are stepping up, such as Joanna, and saying, listen, let's do this together. I'm not going to cost you anything. I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you. And you're going to like rock your financial world. Like, why would we not want to do this?
Yeah. Well, and how Sarah was, you know, you said, yeah, and you're not going to pay any more for it. But like Sarah was saying, you actually will probably pay less. Because if you have her helping with things and she's able to know where's the best deal, what's the most efficient way, you know, to get around all these different things, she's able to help you save time, save money, all of those kinds of fabulous things. And the thing is that when you're talking with somebody about your finances, instead of just trying to wing it, you may then be able to avoid some costly mistakes. I know we talked yesterday about we generally all have some money stuff that has happened in our lives, and we're trying to figure out how do we do it differently, how do we do it better. And if you have somebody that can help you along that path, and you know, when you come to those money decisions and those options, and having somebody that you can reach out to and ask, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. Does it seem like a good idea, or is there something better that I can do? Then you can gather that input and make that empowered decision about what you want to do, and can potentially help you, you know, avoid costly mistakes that can be now or could be decades into the future. So it really can help you to save money as well. So
so what's the first step, Joanna? Like, so if someone were to contact you and say, okay, I'm just a hot mess, like I I've got to start all over again, or you know, I lost everything, I got divorced, I'm starting
from
scratch, I really
me,
got
Lori.
Nothing. Hey, listen, I'm
Don't
right
worry.
There with you, honey. Don't even say.
It's not just you, believe me. So where do you say,
hey, okay, so here I am and I'm showing up and we're having a conversation. So what's the first thing that you start to do with people with that are there?
Yeah. So the first thing that we do is really have a conversation that helps us to both clarify what your goals are, what your dreams are, what your plans are, the things you'd like to be able to do, the things you'd like to be able to have, the things you'd like to be able to give, and what that looks like, what your time frames are. What does retirement, and I'm holding up my fingers as air quotes, retirement look like? Because it used to be, you know, a couple generations ago, once you got to about 65, you were pretty much like, okay, I'm just going to hang out and do my thing and we'll go from there. But everyone it's so individualized now. It's so different. So it's really important to have those conversations to figure out, because not just is each person different, but if you're talking with a couple, there are probably a lot of differences just between the two of them. And so just like when Sarah's talking to a couple about what they want to do on their trip, she's got to make sure that she's including everybody. You know, you want to make sure that this family isn't going to go on a trip and one spouse is like, this is the best thing ever, and the other spouse is, we didn't do anything I wanted to the entire time. So it's part of having that conversation and helping to, you know, helping people to prioritize and figure out where there's some wiggle room and where they're not budging in different areas. And that's really where we start, is having those conversations. That's really, I think, the most important piece of it all, because if I'm unclear on what somebody's goals are and their plans and the things that are living inside of their head, I can't be the best person to help them. And if they're unclear on where it is they are and where they want to be, one, they're not necessarily going to be able to take that honest look at where they are, but two, they're not going to really be motivated at all to do anything, because if they don't see, okay, if it's become clear, I need to do something, having had this conversation that helps them remember all the things that are important to them, and it's all right there on paper, and they're able to see it and go, oh my gosh, yeah, these are all the things I want to do, and these are the places I want to go, and these are the things I want to be able to give to others. Yeah, I guess this is kind of my motivation for why I want to do something different. You know, because if it's just, I want to have some more money in the bank, most people aren't super excited by that. And so this is really where we start, is having this conversation with people to help us both get on the same page and have a good understanding of not just where people are, but where they also want to be.
Right. Perfect. What about?
Yes, that is.
What about, how do you work with individuals that, again, going along the lines of what I was saying, that like, if they're literally having this to start from scratch, or whatever their circumstances, where they're shooting on themselves a lot, saying, oh my God, I should have been so much further than I am now. I've got minimal money for retirement. I'm already like up there in age. Like, is it, how do you reassure individuals? Because I think that that's also the hardest thing is for individuals to have to feel like, okay, I really do need this, and I don't want this person to judge me and say, oh my God, you should have started like a long time ago and look at you now, you know. If there's hope, right? There's always, everything is always figure outable.
Yeah. And the thing is that more often than not, people will say, oh, I shouldn't have done this, or I really wish I would have done this differently. Or, you know, nobody ever has said to me, I really wish I would have waited longer to have this conversation. So it's really a matter of helping people realize it's not just them. They're not alone in having questions. They're not alone if they're confused. They're not alone if they wish they would have done something differently. Because I have yet to meet a person who has done everything perfectly when it comes to their money. And the thing is that I'll tell people, we can sit here and talk about all the stuff that happened in the past or didn't happen or whatever, but that's not really going to get us anywhere. And it's going to be more important to take a look at where we are now and moving forward, because that's really all you can control. You can't go back into the past and redo things. Maybe someday when there's a time machine, we can do things differently and my job will be a lot easier. But at this point, it's really taking a look at what's the best you can do right now with the information that you have and everything for moving forward. Because it can be very easy to get bogged down in, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? This is awful. I have had these challenges that have, you know, some of them maybe were choices I made. Some of them were things that happened that I didn't have any control over. And now I'm stuck dealing with them and I just don't know what. That can be very heavy. So a lot of what I do when I'm talking with somebody who's maybe in that position trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do, right? I'm kind of starting over. I don't have 40 years in, you know, ahead of me in the workforce probably. I don't know what to do. So really it's a matter of figuring out what are the best things that you can do. What are the best actions you can take? Because you may not be able to, in 10 years, build as much money in your retirement and in your savings as you would like. But if you don't do anything, you're going to be in a much worse position than if you go ahead and start now and take actions that you can take moving forward. So it's really about the forward-looking ideas rather than dwelling on what has happened in the past, because stuff happens and we're all in different places in our lives. And the best thing that we can do is say, okay, here's where we are right now. Here's where you want to be. How do we get you working towards that? It's not necessarily that, you know, we're not miracle workers. There's no, you know, magic money tree, which that would be totally awesome.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it really is about what are the best choices that you can make moving forward. And that's where I really want to help people feel educated, feel empowered, feel like they have the knowledge where they can make a decision and then move forward with it. And then whatever it is that comes, if you're working in your life in a decision that you made, you tend to feel much stronger and more confident and much better about whatever comes your way. Because just making good financial decisions moving forward doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. It just means you're putting yourself in to be able to handle it if it does. So that's, I think it's really about making sure people have the information and that they are empowered to make decisions and then moving forward.
That's great. What do you think, Gladys Guru?
I think that she was talking about me.
So, I think she's talking about both of us.
And I think, yeah, absolutely. And that's what we discussed yesterday. And so that's where I'm at. I have to just do what I have to do not to be where I'm at. Because of things that I had to do in the past and you know, cash out my 401ks and all that for the care of my husband, which now brought me back to point zero. So, it's kind of scary to think where I'm at, you know, and just where I'm at, and then knowing that I have to do something different also adds to that fear. So it's like you just have to just go forward, right? Ram through the roadblocks and just come out on the other side.
It's all that process. The decisions that we've made previously, if we give ourselves some grace and realize that the decision that we made was the best we could do at that point in time with the information and the knowledge that we had and the circumstances that we had. And you can't go back and be the person you are today. The person you are today is because of all the decisions and things that you've gone through and the decisions that you've made. And maybe it took going through that to get to a point where you think, okay, now I'm ready. Never know.
Oh, I'm ready.
Isn't that beautiful, though, Gladiator Guru? Because, like, just what you just said, Joanna, is so empowering. Like, in other words, you take away that embarrassment or the fear or that shame. You know, shame can create, like, a situation where you take no action. And then you keep putting it off and putting it off. And then all of a sudden a year passes, 2 years, then another three, four. And then you're like, oh, God, okay, now I'm even worse. And I should have done this 4 years ago, but I was embarrassed. Well, now it's even worse. It's compounded even more. But to know that you could go to somebody such as Joanna, who is just so, you're so sweet about it. Like, you're just so like, okay, let's just figure this out. Let's not dwell on the past of what you did or didn't do. And let's just go with what we have now. And even if you're going with like, well, okay, we don't have a lot to work here, but we'll get this to work. Like, we'll do this.
Yeah.
That's huge. That really is huge because shit happens. That's the thing. It's like we could plan and we could plan and say, oh, this is how I'm going to make my life to be and blah, blah, blah. I want this. You know, we're in our 20s and that's how I'm going to be in my 30s and my 40s and my 50s. And then you're like, you get like Gladiator Guru, you marry somebody and then not even a year into your first anniversary, not even a year into your marriage, he gets diagnosed with something it's terminal. And she becomes his caregiver for years. And it's like, we don't say that's what I'm going to be. You're like, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get married and then I'm going to be the caregiver. I'm going to be broke, you know, or afterwards or whatever, you know. I'm going to get divorced. I'm going to lose all my money in an investment. Like, nobody says that, but it happens. And then we're still so embarrassed by it because we think, oh, this is like, we're the only person that this happened to. And then the fear is so, the override, it overtakes us to not take action to get ourselves out. And then we fall into a deeper pit. And it's so nice to have someone like Joanna to step in and be like, seriously, it's fine. Like, look with what we have and let's just get going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry, Joanna.
Oh,
but
no, you're
absolutely
fine.
Because it's just, you do get to that place. That happened. And you know what? I wasn't worried about it then because I was a caregiver and my worry was what was right in front of me. But now that a good 10 years of caregiving for my husband and my mom, this is 2 months now of pure freedom for me and I'm going to be 53 and now it's time to get knee deep in the work to secure my future.
Yeah. I think the action is what is really helpful. I think that taking the steps or doing something, you know, a lot of times the things that feel best to the people I'm working with are it's the stuff they've been putting off and putting off and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that sometime. But once they get to it and they tell me, yep, I'm going to do it, and then they do it, and it's, you know, something they've been putting off for months or years, and it took them 5 minutes, and it's done. And now they can think about something else instead of having that weight, that guilt, that, oh, my gosh, shouldn't do this. I don't have the energy for that today. I'll do it another day. And then it just keeps pressing and pushing down. And by being able to get some of this stuff off your plate and off your to-do list, it really frees you up to be able to think about other stuff. And, you know, you don't want to keep thinking about the old crap all the time. You want to think about new things. And that's where it gets exciting. You know, that's when things start moving and opportunities come your way and you're ready for them because you're up and you're looking and you're open to those kinds of things. So that's especially money.
That is the most stressful thing for people. I think people stress out more about money than they do about their own health. Like they'll only stress out about their health when it gets to a certain level, but it's the finances because that's real and that's in the moment. And
yeah.
People don't like to talk about money. They're uncomfortable with the conversation of money. And you're right. It's like we put it off. And then once you take that burden away from them and then they're able to take that breath, it's like then all of a sudden you have clarity and you could say, okay, so what's the next step? Like I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And thank goodness for people such as yourselves, you know. And I, again, you know, you're shedding a lot of light on, I pride myself in being a very knowledgeable person. I have a lot of education behind me. I have a lot of life experience. And yet for me to not know that it doesn't cost me anything to use you, like, I'm dumbfounded that I really didn't know that. Like, and I think of myself, how did I not know that? But I just didn't. You know, like you said, you don't know, you know what you know at that time. And then what do I need to do differently? Like, what does anybody out there need to do differently if you're not? Because here's the thing with Joanna, because we've had conversation with Joanna before, and Joanna isn't just about, you know, getting you, you know, like doing all these things, like all the services that she has, but she is, like it said in her bio, she's an educator. Like she's also going to teach you, you know, even if it's like if it's finances for dummies, you know, there's no judgment there. Like she's going to tell you because sometimes we know things, but we don't know that we know them. So it takes an explanation that's like a more simplified explanation of something. And then the person goes, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, well, then you know some of it already. Oh, my God, I didn't even know I knew. So that's wonderful that you have that ability. You're doing this with great compassion, a lot of empathy, and just like giving everybody permission to just be like, okay, no worries. Let's just work on this.
Yeah. Yeah. it's really an interesting, you know, when you look at it, because when you talked about how people get stressed out about money more than they get stressed out about their health, say. And I think I maybe had mentioned this yesterday when we were on the show that if somebody is not feeling well and they, you know, they're like, gosh, I just am not getting better. I don't really know, you know, maybe they hop on WebMD for a little while and search around and, you know, but they go, gosh, I really don't know what's wrong. I really need some help figuring this out. And they go to the doctor. That's part of why they don't have to stress out so much because they know if they aren't getting better, there's a backup plan, right? There's a resource, there's a support. Now with finance, I don't know how many times people have said, okay, well, there's some things I have to get in order and then we'll talk. Like, you don't go to the doctor after you're better. You go to help you. You don't come talk to me after you get all your shit together. You talk to me first, and I help you.
Yeah, no, that's a good point because you're right. And again, I think it's that shame factor. It's like, oh my God, well, I don't want to, like, you know,
I don't want to like show up and be like, this is where I'm at. Well, okay, so let me see your bank balance. Okay, well, it's kind of negative right now. So, you know, like you don't want to show up like that. So you're like, let me get this in order first. But you're right. It's we have to go move past that. We have to just
and it takes
a person such as yourself to, because listen, believe me, there are assholes out there. There are asshole financial people who just are, you know, they have, and there's no judgment in the sense of why they do what they do. They could be very good at what they do, but they will make you feel absolutely small, and nobody can make you feel that way, but you know what where I'm coming from on that.
Right.
And those are the people you don't need. If that's not what makes you feel comfortable and that's going to prevent you from moving forward, then that's not the person you need to be with. You need to be with the people like Joanna that are going to nurture you, teach you, and encourage you and inspire you. And then when you leave, in the end, you know, like after the first meeting and the second meeting, it's like, oh, my God, I feel better and better. I feel like I have more control. I feel like things are building up. This is absolutely fantastic. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel now, where before I didn't even – how long have you noticed it takes you from sort of starting the process to, like, for the person to really start seeing things change? I mean, I know it depends on their circumstance, but like, on the average, would you say? Like, what do you tend to see?
Well, you're right. It does really depend on the person. And there's, you know, what are they trying to dig out of a hole? Do they already kind of have some good foundational things and they're just kind of moving forward from there? You know, because everybody's in a different space. I think that people generally at least start feeling better about things. It's not necessarily that everything's changed or now all of a sudden their bank account is busting at the seams, but I think people start feeling better when they, you know, we've had that first meeting, we've gathered the information, I've researched, I've put together a plan, I come back, I have recommendations designed for them, and they see, okay, here it is, black and white. Here are the things that you can be doing to move forward. And they make a decision and they decide what they want to do, and I can help them with that. And by that time, they generally are feeling better because now they're in charge. They know what's up. They aren't scared about it. They've gone through the process of digging through everything and sharing it all. And now it's like, okay, whatever. It is what it is, right? And now we're going to move forward. And I think just that twisting, rather than continuing to look back, but shifting and looking forward, it's just such a more hopeful place and a more hopeful way to live. And I think it's just a lighter feeling for people. I really think after that meeting, people start feeling better. Now, as far as, you know, when they change, you know, when they have dealt with paying off some debt or they have focused on saving up for something that they're wanting to save up for or different things like that, it really depends. I mean, it takes time, and the people that are willing to be consistent with the effort to make it happen are the ones who see results more quickly. It's not that they're the only ones who see results. They just tend to see it more quickly. Or if things come up, they're the ones who have, instead of an overwhelming, oh, my gosh, I don't know what we're going to do now, it's, okay, what are we going to do? Let's figure this out. Let's keep moving. You know, they can trust in themselves that they have taken steps and taken actions towards a goal. And even if stuff gets in the way, they're much more likely to be more resilient about dealing with it. So I know that doesn't exactly answer your question.
No, it does. It does. It was a very complicated question. You know, no, it does. That was perfect.
Oh, good. Okay.
Great job. Guru, you want to have any questions on anything, or you want to add any commentary?
No, I've been writing down what she's saying, but I will be contacting you to just get. Yeah, I need some guidance. I need a lot of guidance.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, you're right. It is fear. And you're like, okay, I'll wait. But it's no more waiting. There's no more fear of, oh, my God. It's just, let me just get this done so I can just, you know, it'll be the yellow brick road of ease for me.
Yeah.
And I thank you for sharing all that. I thank you. And the kindness that you give, like, and letting people know it's okay. Like, you don't make it embarrassing or shameful or anything. So I really honor that in you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It takes a lot. You know, when you're the person that's reaching out for help, it takes a lot to be able to be at the point to say, yes, I could really use your help. And I think it's so important to be respectful of that and understanding that, you know, people, like I said, nobody's ever said, gosh, I wish I would have waited longer to talk to you and get this stuff figured out. It doesn't happen. And so it's so important to be sensitive to the emotions and the feelings and the concerns that people are going through, because it can be scary and it can be overwhelming. So certainly just trying to help people add to their tools and add to their resources, and being able to realize that there are things out there that can be helpful. So
that's fantastic. That's so, you know, and Joanna, we really appreciate you coming on. I mean, you came on twice this week, and it's really been a pleasure having you on because, you know, again, I mean, like, Gladiator Guru and I are very similar creatures, and we are creating new chapters in our lives, and the finance piece for both of us has been challenging for very different reasons, but in the end, it still comes out the same way. And everything happens for a reason. There is a reason why you and I connected. There's a reason why you came onto the shows. There's a reason why you're speaking to us, but you're also speaking to the tribe, because we know that there's got to be other tribe members out there that are thinking the same things and feeling the same way that we're feeling. And it is really, it's like a breath of fresh air to have someone such as yourself want to take on something so annoying for people, so scary for people as the financial piece, but just be so loving about it. So we are very grateful that we know you, and we're grateful that you came onto the show and shared your information. And how can the tribe members get in touch with you to set something up? Because now, can you help anybody? Is there specific states, or can you work with anybody in the U.S.?
So the way that licensing works is you are licensed in a state, and then it depends on where somebody's located. That, you know, if because I have clients in different states, and if I have a client that's in a new state, I make sure that everything is set up licensing wise, and then we're good to go. So it's more of a kind of a paperwork type of set up to be able to help people, and by that I just mean whatever that state decides that they should be paid to have you operate in their state. So it's a pretty simple process. So if someone is not in Arizona, that's fine. You know, we can certainly chat and see, you know, because if somebody just has a couple questions and things like that, sometimes that's really what people need, and that doesn't, you know, that I'm absolutely open to those conversations for sure. And, you know, to be able to get a hold of me, probably the easiest way is through my Calendly link. And it's just calendly.com/Joanna Walker. So it's all one word.
Okay, fantastic. Right. And for those of you that don't know what Calendly is, Calendly, first of all, it's awesome scheduling. But if you click on that, it'll pull up her availability, and then you can just schedule a one-on-one with her, and that would be absolutely fantastic. So what we'll do is we'll make sure that we post your Calendly link in our social media
so that people can reach out to and just click and directly get to you. And we would love to have you on again in the future, because we just – and glad, both of us will be reaching out to you on our own, not off the show. I know Gladiator Guru expressed it to me after we finished Thursday's show, yesterday's show. She was just so thrilled with you. So, again, you know, Gladiator Guru, you want to say any last-minute thing before we say goodbye to Joanna
for the evening? First, we want to thank you for your time. You know, time is priceless, even though I'm always late. but when people give up their time, that also tells about them. You were just on with us yesterday, and here you are again today, sharing, offering your assistance and guiding us to a healthy state of mind. But yes, so we will be contacting you, and we will refer you, and we hope to have you back on the show again.
Oh, well, thank you both. I really appreciate the invitation for both yesterday and today. I really enjoyed having conversations. I love to talk about money, so when people want to talk about it, I'm there. Thank you.
I love that you said that
thing.
I've never liked talking about it, and I love being able to talk about it with somebody who loves talking about it. So that's great. Thank you for that.
Well, yeah, because she removed the taboo that goes along with
yes.
it, you know, when you have
yes.
and don't have, and then, you know, you're used to having, and then you become accustomed to not having, and then you get it again, and then you don't. And that's been just my life, which is, you know, since I became a teen mother, you know, you work hard, you build, and then you get a divorce and you lose. And then, so it's just like with my weight, I want to get off the fucking roller coaster already. I want to be on the lazy river and just enjoying floating and being okay with the world.
Oh my God. Well, Joanna, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And if there's anything else that you need from us, you know, just you have our contact stuff, but we'll be chatting with you anyway. So thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you both so much. It's been really a fun time. So thank you both. I really appreciate the invitation. So
you're welcome.
Good night.
All right, have a great weekend. Yes, namaste.
Thank you. You too.
All right, so Gladiator Guru, we had some fabulous conversations tonight, although I did most of the talking. You were very quiet this evening, but I think the big take for me for this, really, it was very empowering for me, because those are two main things that have been coming up for me. I'm in my transformation and my process of really recreating myself. The last piece is the financial piece for me. And so the universe has been speaking very loudly to me lately, because all these financial people have been popping up, all these very good-hearted women too, specifically, that very empowering, very inspiring, very nurturing. And the idea that, oh my gosh, I could really get this all to get put together makes me feel so good. And then here comes Sarah with the traveling piece that I have put on the back burner for so many years. And now I'm getting ready to like really look at it and say, okay, you know what? I'm ready to go with my family. And then she says a couple of things. I was just like, oh my gosh, this could all really happen, which is great. Well, not could, but it's going to absolutely happen. I really feel good. I'm absolutely thrilled about having them both on tonight.
Absolutely. And that's why when Sarah was talking that I said it was divine intervention of the things that she was saying, because it resonated with what you've been talking about lately, and how just the panning in itself, when you're panning in the unknown, it makes it seem like it's going to be more difficult. Sometimes, is it even worth it? Am I going to do this? And like, so that made it seem like it's doable. Even if you still plan it on your own, your mentality, the transformation of oh, am I going to be able, am I going to get here on time? Made it easy because she said the way she explained it made it a reality that it can be done. And she discovered this, and she does this as her business now because she did it.
Yeah.
And she experienced it, and now it's her business. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
And then with the money thing, you know, and it does go hand in hand. What you said prior to having any of them on the show was that, you know, they do go hand in hand, money and travel, travel and money. You know, you need one for the other. So I think tonight it was wonderful. Tonight it broadened a lot of things for me as well, which I hope that it also did for the listeners, because sometimes we get stuck in our own head. And we see things bigger than what they actually are in the negative light. And we just need to bring it out into the sunlight and realize, you know what? We are here. Us mere humans in this vast world are here to enjoy what was placed here for us. And we are the only ones that block ourselves from really witnessing and experiencing the beauty of the world. Even in our own backyard, like Sarah was saying, you know, here in our own country, there's so much beauty to be seen and discovered and learned. So, as I'm always trying to go to Spain. So I think that, yeah.
Yes, you could go. You could do the Appalachian Trail. How about that one?
You could walk the Appalachian Trail. You know, I looked into that. It takes like 7 months, you know, that if you do decide to walk. But it's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of murders on the Appalachian Trail. but yeah, I'll stay.
Okay,
Spain.
Then don't
but,
do that.
But you know, just and the money part, it's become like something that it's like right there. You open your eyes and it's right there. It's securing the future for a comfortable life, a less worry-free life, or just knowing, you know, in 2 months, I had 2 deaths. You know, I had my mom and then I had my uncle. And even with my uncle, you know, such a family we have, and we still, you know, was waiting on people to deliver money so that we can have all of it to bury him because my uncle had nothing. And I don't want that. I don't want that for my children. I don't want that going forward. If any of my siblings, something happens to my siblings, you know, I don't want to have to worry or wait on people. And that part of it, just, and I'm only speaking on that part of it because it just happened and I experienced it. So I just want to be able to live abundantly and worry less. I just want that song, Be Happy. And if you're happy, it's because everything is put into place as it should be, according to my life and my lifestyle. So I think today's show was really on the money.
I think
so
as well.
Fantastic. Yes, yes, it was fantastic having them on. Where's Dory?
She's there.
Oh, okay.
I think.
So what did you think of today's guest, Dory?
I thought it was really interesting, both subjects, and, you know, somebody who has worked with people with different ability levels and traveled with them and everything else. It's amazing because there are more and more places now that are sensitive to that. And
yeah, thank
for parents. Yeah. For parents of kids with special needs, they need to know, you know, I know that there are quite a few cruises and things like that specifically designed for it. My best friend from childhood is the head of the Autism Society in Albany. So she handles all of Rensselaer County all the way down to Westchester. I love that they do a thing called a sensible movie where the lights aren't all the way down and parents don't get upset if a child's talking and things. And, you know, people need to be aware that parents need to know that their kids can have fun, you know? And anybody that's looking over at you, giving you stink eyes, shame on them. You know, shame on them. It shouldn't be courageous to take your child to dinner because they have a special need. You know? have every right.
Yes, it is. But the way of the world, you know, even my husband in his wheelchair in IKEA trying to maneuver through people who wouldn't get out of the way. And he was so calm and so, like, he would just stop and wait for them to leave. And I'm like, run them over. They see you coming. You know, you just get frustrated at the ignorance of people. And we were night and day. And he would just stop and wait patiently. And they saw him. He had a motorized wheelchair. So, and that's why I told her, it's courageous for continuing to go out. Because, you know, even people with kids will look at you funny. Like, they didn't have a hard time with their kids, you know. And it's just awful. And when my, and I said that as well, because when my granddaughter lost all her hair on chemo when she had leukemia, people, parents with their young kids would stare and then take their kids away like they didn't want their kids to see a bald girl. So, yeah, and you know, I was always there like, excuse me, can I have my face back? And because sometimes you got to call them out on it. But other times we would just laugh and skip and smile and pass right by them and smile at them like, you know what? And to me, for a six-year-old, any child, feels like people are looking at me. I think it's courageous that they continue to go out because shame on them. Shame on people who see these things and look down on it. Now, my husband, he stopped going out. Not by me. Maybe he just didn't want to hear me arguing with people, but he had a lot of pain too. So he never left the house after like a year and a half of being paralyzed. Because of his pain, and so he only left the house once every 3 months to go to the clinic. But for those people who continuously kept going out and got into their routine, I find that to be courageous and let none of the outside world put a damper on their lifestyle. But yeah, shame on everybody, Dory. That absolutely right.
Yeah, it, like I said, it shouldn't be courageous to take your child out. You know, and here's the reality. Anybody going out with their child, no matter what their needs are, you are courageous. Because, you know, and the reality is the people that give people with special needs the stink eye are going to give you the stink eye if it was just your kid who didn't have any special need other than your love for them. And they were they're the same people because, you know, their world is supposed to be, those are the ones who should stay home. You know, freaking stay home if you can't accept that people have life. And, you know, it is what it is. Everybody should be able to go out and enjoy themselves. That's the end of my statement. So I love your guest. There you go.
I see you were unmoved by it.
Well, like I said, as somebody who's worked with kids with special needs, I used to, when I was 14, I babysat for somebody in a wheelchair who actually 20 years later was my kid's babysitter. Okay. So.
Wow. That's funny. That's awesome.
Hey, she didn't walk with her legs. Other than that, my children's dad was like, what if there's an emergency? I was like, she'd dial 911 like anybody else, you idiot. I'm serious.
Oh my God.
This is wonderful. Lori, we're going to have, when's the next, were you meeting all these people? Because now I can actually, once I get back home though next week, then I can start joining you in so I can meet all these people with you because they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do a lot of networking for my business. And one of the big network thing that I do, because I'm also a member of, is something called the Happy Neighborhood Project. And they're just a really fun group. And a lot of these are, you know, you could find a lot of these groups on LinkedIn, but you could just go directly to Happy Neighborhood Project's website, and then you can just, it's free. You know, I mean, like, I'm a paid member, but you don't have to do that. You can just go on the website and go to the networking section, and they have like 70 different things a week that you can just network with people from different states. And my God, I was networking with people from Hawaii because I have this obsession with Hawaii that I want to move there someday. So I was like already getting, I'm trying to get to know people. So this way I have friends. And but I've networked with, you know, phenomenal women. They have, even now they've just started some specific women, like Midwest women, Northeast women. So I definitely recommend that group. I mean, there's so many other great networking groups too, but that's where, specifically where I met these two fantastic ladies. So yeah. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. So let's just talk, make a quick announcement about a couple of things. So next month, we'll be back on the second Friday schedule. And so it's June 11th and our guests will be Nicole Snell of, she's the CEO of Girls Fight Back. And Nicole is just freaking fabulous. We had her on the morning show already. We're probably going to have her sneak her on again. She's just an amazing lady who, and this is perfect because she travels, she teaches women how to travel by themselves and to protect themselves. So she teaches a lot of self-defense classes. And then we're going to have Kimberly Sanchez come on as well. And then another quick announcement, because I know we have to get off. For those of you in the Bridgeport area, if you want to join us tomorrow morning, we're doing the Walk to End Homelessness. So if you go onto the Facebook Viva Cafe Con Leche Facebook page, you can get the information on how to join that. It's an 8:30 registration in the morning at Captain's Cove. So hopefully we'll see you there. So I guess we have to, our before the song starts playing. So any last words, Gladiator Guru, before we have to, because we got like just a minute left, I think, if that.
What happened, Laura? So, I'm sorry, I cut out for a minute.
I said we have to cut out, but any last minute quick words because we have to get off.
A good night to everybody who's listening. Thank you for signing on to this wonderful podcast. Dory, thank you. And Badass Buddha, you were awesome. Thank you for taking the lead because the dogs were barking. So that's why I needed myself most of the time. So no.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, that's what the, that's it. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
She is strong. She is true. Woman's